Trofinco's Valor Program for veteran entrepreneurs is especially tailored to support veterans in transitioning to business ownership with dedicated financial solutions and resources. For traveling entrepreneurs, the program offers flexibility and support in funding, critical for those exploring new markets. Business owners will find the personalized approach and understanding of veteran needs invaluable for expanding operations or starting new ventures. Empower your entrepreneurial journey with the Valor Program and turn your business vision into reality. New U-Life Somaderm Gel. Travelers and business owners can benefit from enhanced energy levels and improved sleep quality. Crucial for adjusting to new time zones and maintaining peak performance during business operations. Entrepreneurs will appreciate the potential anti-aging effects, supporting a dynamic, youthful appearance vital for first impressions. Click here now to revitalize your body's natural rhythms and present your best self in every meeting and adventure.
Welcome to The Tactical Traveler, the podcast where adventure meets precision and the journey is just as important as the destination. Bringing you the inside scoop on the most thrilling and efficient travel experiences. Each episode, we'll dive into the art of travel, from navigating off the beaten path destinations to mastering the art of packing like a pro. So buckle up, get your compass ready, and let's embark on a new adventure with Tactical Traveler. Here's your host, John Rankin.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Tactical Traveler. I'm so excited today. I have a really great guest for us, somebody that I just recently met, and they have a travel tech startup company. And to me, it is just so fascinating. All of the people that I've been meeting through this podcast and that are really doing some amazing things inside the travel industry. And so it's my privilege and honor to introduce you guys to Jen Hong. Jen, how are you doing?
Hi, John. Hello. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited.
Awesome. So you were just telling me that the last time we spoke, you were in Australia. Now You're in Korea. And Then you're heading to New York. I mean, that's like the nomad's dream. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing with all this travel.
Yeah. I lived in New York for all of my 20s. And moved to Australia in 2019, just to like travel, just wanted to take a gap year. And I ended up just kind of staying there for 2 years and was sort of planning on moving back to New York, but with the pandemic, wasn't sure. And now I'm just kind of in Korea on my way to New York so that I could like visit all my relatives and my family and also eat a bunch of Korean food before heading back to New York.
Yeah. I love Korean food, by the way.
You do? You like
it? I do. I'm more of a bulgogi fan, you know, if I'm saying it right. I'm a red meat guy, so I love that dish. We have a Korean shop here in town, and that's what I have every time, beef bulgogi. So I love it.
It's the best.
So now, you know, as you and I were talking, I want to really kind of give people a sense before we get into what you're doing in the tech space, assess what kind of person you are, because I was really impressed with your story that you moved to Australia and then you started to do a bunch of stuff to really help facilitate your dream. Just talk me through that, and you know, where this kind of started and what you were doing while you were in Australia to make money. And then we'll kind of transition, because I really want to spend a lot of time talking about this great idea that you have.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I think you know, I've always been very kind of in New York. I was always kind of in a very corporate environment, large companies and things like that. And once I kind of got to Australia, I really just wanted to do something different. So while I was traveling, obviously, the reason I wanted to take a gap year was because first I was just really unhappy working, you know, insane hours every week. And I just wanted to take a gap year and actually travel, but also take a bunch of courses that I've always been curious about. So, you know, obviously had to kind of do like freelancing work on the side. And that's when I started kind of getting into this digital nomad, so to speak, lifestyle. And this first thing I did was like went on like Upwork and then started looking for some gigs. And then honestly, it just, a lot of things happened by chance, if you can believe that. Like I was, you know, one of the projects I won was because I was trying to hire designers, design agency for my startup as I started like working on, once I started working on the actual product design. And, you know, after speaking to them, they were like way out of my budget. And they actually wanted to hire me as a go-to-market consultant. So like things like that happen where, because I was just kind of pursuing things that I was passionate about, I guess, I think that kind of projected certain energy out. And a lot of these, you know, projects and work opportunities and learning opportunities that I've come across in the past, you know, 2 years or so really happened by luck.
Yeah. And I mean, there's no, to me at least, there's no question that when you're in the right place, at least mentally, maybe spiritually, it just seems like, you know, God, the universe, karma, whatever you want to call it, really does align things for your benefit, as long as you're properly aligned. And I've just talked to so many people that share some kind of that same story. And, you know, to be honest, a lot of people with a story just like yours, where they're fed up with the corporate lifestyle, they hate it. It brings them no joy. Maybe they're making great money, but they're absolutely miserable doing it. You know, I'm a little bit older, but I like to think of myself as at least young in mind. But I really see that beginning to happen a lot with the younger generation, where they're like, why am I slaving away for these people for money that I can't even really spend because I can't ever get out of the office to do anything? Would you say that that's kind of your experience as well?
Yeah, I think that I'm kind of in the like a transitional millennial, like somewhere in between. There's definitely like fear. It's scarier. I mean, at least I had to kind of deal with my own fear in that aspect. But you know, to be honest, yes, absolutely. I think that millennials change jobs a lot more frequently, and I don't necessarily believe that's because they can't commit or, you know, they're entitled. I think it's because millennials really try to, you know, believe in like learning opportunities. We want to, you know, a lot of millennials have side hustles and side jobs and projects. So I think it's all about people just as we all kind of evolve and as we evolve with the technologies and the trends, we are all kind of growing at a lot, like a much faster pace.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have this, which as we talked before the call, I love, you have this great idea for a, basically for lack of better language, at least on my end, a social media platform to help people with travel. And before we get into what it all does, I want you to tell me the story of how that became a thing for you. Like, where did this idea get born from? What was it that happened in your life that was the catalyst to cause you to go from a corporate job that was probably really stable and really good to, hey, I'm just going to throw everything to the wind and start my own thing and see what happens?
Yeah, great question. And there are a lot of different forces that kind of came together, but I think it really kind of started with the fact that I don't know if I mentioned, but you know, I was born in Seattle, grew up in Cali, but I also, you know, my parents are Koreans and they wanted to actually move back to Korea. So I actually moved with them and then went to an international school. So I was, you know, our school had, for those of you who don't know what an international school is, it's basically like accredited American school in foreign countries. So a lot of the kids are like diplomats kids and, you know, American military base kids and things like that. And what's really interesting is, you know, I was exposed to like 48 different ethnicities at such a young age. A lot of my friends were from all these different countries, and being exposed to that level of diversity in, you know, global environment really, I think, shaped how I think and kind of really implanted this insatiable desire to explore every part of the globe. And so I'm very antsy. So you know, needless to say, I like traveling.
Yeah.
But, and the thing is, you know, if you, you know, obviously I like traveling, but most people like traveling, let's be real, right? Right. So, but it's not just that. Like, so I always tend to kind of play this role of a planner. I like initiating group trips. I love, you know, traveling with friends. Obviously, logistically, it's a nightmare, but I really do enjoy, you know, traveling with people I love. And one thing that I kind of realized was actually when I left New York. So like, I've always kind of wanted to, you know, build a tool that helps, like, you know, helps me like plan trips better with, you know, friends and family. But the really, the concept of this whole startup really kind of came together when I left New York, and my best friend gave me this book called The Alchemist. Uh-huh. I don't know if you... familiar? Yep. So basically it's a book about a boy, right, who is a shepherd and he likes traveling, and he's actually given, like, you know, told that there's a treasure and in Egypt. So he actually travels much further than he's comfortable with and goes on all these detours in life because he's like distracted, and it takes him a while to actually get there. And he almost gives up a few times until he actually gets there. And he calls it like following his personal legend. And Levanter, by the way, is the name of this wind throughout the book that really nudges him to keep going every time he's about to give up, by like bringing him like scent of like a woman he loves, or scent of, you know, some reminding him of his own mission, you know?
Now, you didn't tell me that part. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
I love that.
So like, it's when I read that book, and my best friend gave me that, you know, gave me that book when I left New York, because she wanted to basically say, you know, do not give up, like, do not question yourself, keep going, follow this path, follow your curiosity, and then figure out what you really need to do, what you want to do. And so that book became this my absolutely favorite book. And I, you know, when I was kind of doing, you know, soul searching, so to speak, during my travels, during my gap year, I realized that really, you know, I love traveling so much. And I think that you can't really reach your full potential until you've taken a lot of these journeys to these unknown places and, you know, gotten out of your comfort zone and really kind of challenge yourself. And all the detours that you take on the way there are even more important than the destinations themselves. So this, you know, once I kind of started thinking about that and the significance of actually physically traveling around and going to different places to explore, I realized that, you know, I want to not only build a tool, but turn this into a company and a brand that brings people together so that we can inspire them to travel further, explore the unknown, and grow from the experience with, you know, their old and new friends.
Yeah.
Root Brands Wellness's Zero In offers a competitive edge over other nootropics like Joe Rogan's Alpha Brain by focusing on natural gut health axis optimization, providing clearer cognitive function and sustained attention without artificial stimulants. Travelers will benefit from enhanced mental clarity during long journeys, while entrepreneurs and business owners can leverage improved focus for strategic planning and execution. Elevate your mental game beyond conventional limits and outperform your competition with Zero In today.
Now, you kind of brought it up, so we'll use that as a great segue. So your platform is called Levanter, and go ahead and explain that to me and to everybody that's listening, what that does and where you pulled that idea from. Just talk to me about the detail. Now, I've been on the website. I went and signed up after we talked. For me, it really reminded me of an upgraded version of Road Trippers, if you know what that app is.
Yes.
So I was loving it. I was like, okay, this is cool. But share with me what it is for the uninitiated.
Sure. So basically at the moment, it's a tool. Think Pinterest meets Trello for travel. And technically it's Pinterest plus Trello plus SurveyMonkey. But basically you know, you come on Levanter and then you create a journey on your board. So you could say, you know, Miami, my honeymoon, you know, whatever it is, the next, you know, adventure or trip that you're planning. And then once you create a journey, within that journey, you get three things. So one is this idea board where you and your crew can save and organize all your ideas as one place. So everybody has this has the same view of what's actually happening and the ideas being added. And when it comes to like time to make decisions, like when you should travel, what you guys should book, things like that, you can use our custom design surveys to make those decisions a lot faster. And we have this itinerary functionality where you can just drag from what you have saved on the idea board and drag it into the itinerary. So you can kind of create this very customizable itinerary within just a few minutes. Those are the main capabilities. We have a vision going beyond that. And we are adding a lot of this UX and UX features that are really designed to help these avid travel planners, right? So like we have a split screen view to minimize the amount of back and forth or tab switching that's required. Yeah, those are kind of the examples of some of the features that we've added. We have like a note function. So like in the itinerary, you're able to add notes to each item. So if you need to communicate to the whole crew, like, hey, like we got this book, remember to bring your passport and your swimsuit or something, that's a place to be. So it's really focused on this aspect of collaboration and cohesive communication while traveling.
Yeah. Now there's also, you know, so as I was looking through it, you don't have to be a travel planner to utilize this platform, right?
Not at all. You mean like, yeah, you can be, initially we're going after anyone who's, the tool is designed with all this, you know, functionalities because we are trying to support, you know, type A planners, but technically you don't have to use the itinerary if you're not the type of person that creates itineraries. You can just, you know, keep all your ideas in one place and use the idea board itself. And we plan on adding certain additional functionalities to appeal to all kinds of travelers. So automation, you know, kind of thing. So one thing that we're thinking of, you know, when you're doing research, right? Like TripAdvisor, are you going on blog sites, whatever it is, you have to copy and paste stuff, right? That's really annoying. So we are introducing like a Google Chrome extension so that like kind of captures what you're researching and auto saves to your idea board. You know, things that, you know, we will be introducing features to so that you can save what you see on like social media immediately, very easily without having to take screenshots.
When I was looking at it, it reminded me of a vision board for like planning, but a vision board specifically for travel, just the way that it was outlined, you know, but not everybody that's going to be listening today is going to, you know, be a traveler a travel planner. So I wanted to make sure they understood that, you know, you don't have to be a travel planner. You could come and, you know, just be looking at something for you and your significant other or you and your family and gather ideas from everybody else's itineraries, right?
Absolutely. So I'm glad you brought that up. So like this is definitely, we're going after consumers, not travel like planners or travel agents necessarily, but it could be used by all, any and all. The other aspect we're thinking of was, you know, what you said, like this exchange of ideas. If you know if you think about when you travel, you know, what sources or which, you know, which source of recommendations you trust the most, you think of your friends and your families, right? So people that you know that are similar to you, or that, you know, people, you know, who, that know you, that know what you like, you trust their recommendations above all else. But if you ever, like, if, I don't know if you've ever like asked friends and families for like recommendations when you're traveling, like you get it in all sorts of formats. I've gotten it in like notes format, like bullet points in an email, Excel sheet, sometimes like an audio, right?
Then there's a screenshot of their ticket.
Yeah. And you just gotta like look, you know, collate all of them and actually put them in, and then like, you know, Google them and all that. There's a lot of work to be done by getting those types of recommendations. So like what we thought of was, eventually what you'll be able to do is, if I have an itinerary, let's say to go to Peru, and then, you know, I went to Peru, I have an itinerary and I want to share it with you, John, I can just, shoot it over to you, and then you'll get it on Levanter and you can plug and play based on what you like. And soon there will be like a search engine where you'll be able to find other people's itineraries without their personal information, obviously, if they've opted to make it, you know, public. based on your, you know, preference levels, you guys, you, you know, if you got, you know, going out, you know, looking for itineraries of other people who have similar travel preferences based on the types of activities you do and things like that. So you can kind of really crowdsource ideas in a much more effective and efficient way.
Yeah, I love it. Love it. Now, how far are you in the process? Because when I was on the website the other day, I mean, it's looking really good to me. I mean, I know from talking with you that you've got other kind of improvements and other kind of, you know, bigger goals in mind for it. But how far would you say you are in the process?
Yeah, we have our MVP, which is basically just like initial, you know, V1 of the product out, and which is functional, working well. So that's where, I mean, so which is a good place to be. We actually decided to take a little more time before launch to make sure that we had all three functionalities ready. At the moment, what we're doing is we have an 18-month roadmap that will take us from like a tool to the community that I just mentioned to eventually a marketplace. So we are fundraising, and
you're so smart. I was about to go, okay, this isn't free. Tell me about money.
Yeah, nothing in life is really free, right?
Well, nothing worth anything is free.
Yeah, that's true. It's basically, you know, what's funny is because we're a tech startup, for those of you who are not too familiar with how like normally tech startups work, like you have a product, you know, you get a proof of concept, you get users. And once you get kind of funding and you get a lot of momentum in terms of you have, you know, you focus on user growth and then you focus on revenue. But for us, we actually wanted to test our business model idea early on because we thought that our business model that we have in mind is, you know, is not just for our revenue, for us to make money. We think that it's, you know, another way for us to actually improve our users' experience and add values to them, their travel experiences. So one of the key things, you know, the way I'm thinking about it is today, if you think about how travel hacking, for instance, right, there's a lot of research that goes into it. It's almost kind of a special kind of people get into travel hacking and I succeed in it, right?
That's me.
Yeah, you're that special kind of, you belong to that top 1%. But
no, I'm just special, you know. Yeah. I'm not sure about the top 1%, but
So it's I wanted to find a way for us to look at, you know, the fact that we have so many people like dreaming about travel and saving all their ideas. I wanted to figure out a way to reward them for that. You know, so one thing I thought of was, if let's say we see you're going to Greece in 6 months and you have a few Airbnbs and hotels saved, awesome saved. What we will then do as one of our revenue business models is we'll say, we'll reach out to those hotels. We'll reach out to the items that you have, you know, if we can, and ask them if they want to offer you deals. So it could be, you know, anything. It could be a discount. It could be a free shuttle. It could be a free champagne, you know, 30% off couples massage, whatever it is. So that, you know, we are getting you deals. It's basically like an automated like travel agent in that sense, just that aspect. So we look at what you want to, you know, what you're considering as options, and we'll go out and get those deals for you.
That's
one of the business models.
Yeah. I mean, that would, you know, the truth is, it's kind of like what you were talking about. To do the travel hacking portion, you know, it takes a lot of time up front. Now, when I want to go somewhere and I don't want to spend a lot of money, it takes me 5 minutes. But it didn't take me 5 minutes when I first started doing it. It took me hours to figure out how to manipulate flights and to get the flights at the price that I wanted. I mean, and even still today, sometimes that doesn't work. And, you know, the ability to actually have a platform with enough power to negotiate rates down for people is really significant, and is all the way. And then it becomes a kind of like self-replicating cycle, right? That you start getting more deals. So you start getting more users, which allows you to get more deals. And then now these companies are paying you to actually advertise their deals.
Yes. Because if you really think about it, there are two areas of efficiency on the demand and the user side and the, you know, the company side, right? One is what, like, to your point, like the travel hacking is super difficult, like the you know, to trying to get into it and trying to, like, you know, get good at it, get, you know, it's just very difficult for a lot of people, right? So they're just kind of looking for deals and end up compromising, right? Having to sacrifice, you know, the things or you know, types of hotels, whatever they really want, or the flights that they really want to do, but end up kind of choosing something slightly, you know, less preferable. And then on the company side, what's happening is they don't really know how, there's no good way to advertise because it's such a fragmented market, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, nobody's going to follow a bunch of hotels on social media, right? So not a lot of people do that. So they, you know, what they do is they end up kind of, their only option is to rely on like TripAdvisor and these OTA sites where they pay like 35% commission.
Yep.
And
they don't get a great deal from those sites.
Yeah. And also, like, when you're trying to offer them deals, you have to kind of offer it to a lot of different people. So you can't offer like very personal, there's no personalization really available, right? Because you're offering to the masses. So, you know, by kind of looking at, instead of, so looking at these gaps on both sides, you know, what I thought of was what if we just kind of flip it and focus on what the users are thinking or doing want, and then going to the hotels and providers and companies to see what they want to offer. Because a lot of times, you know, I'll just stick with the hotel as an example, you know, they are open to, you know, providing deals. And sometimes it's not about discounts. It could be like, if you're doing a bachelor party and the hotel is willing to offer you like 5 bottles of champagne or whatever, right? Like, that could be a good enough incentive. There are things that you can do, and you know, hotels could also, like, might be more willing to offer, you know, certain types of deals, you know, certain types of, you know, during certain times in the year, because they either have lower occupancy rate or whatever it is, like, you know, there's willingness on both sides.
Yeah, well, and the hotels have far more, or I don't know if they have far more flexibility, or if they're willing to be far more flexible than airlines. I've never really seen airlines work with people to help people out. I've never seen it personally. So,
I mean, you try calling them on the phone, yeah, like, while things are happening on the ground, and if they're like, oh, wait time is 3 hours, you know, like,
yeah,
you're at the airport, like.
Well, you know, I've got a large travel group, you know, between the two groups I have, it's almost 30,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that, you know, there's some bartering ability there. And every time I've talked to a hotel, there is. Every time I've talked to an airline, they're like, go pound sand.
Yeah.
Like, they don't care. Yeah. They're like, whatever, we don't care. I don't know if that's that they have no margin or if they don't care to give you any margin. You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's both. I mean, in general, like, airline as an industry is low margin, right? Very low margin, thin margin. So they don't have a lot of room to play around with.
Yeah, right. So, you know, you're still in this stage one, or what'd you call it? You called it something different.
MVP stage.
MVP stage.
Yeah.
You haven't rolled out 2.0 and you're still in the fundraising process. And I don't want to get into the numbers with you necessarily,
mm-hmm.
but what kind of financial investment do you guys need to take this to the next level? Because I don't know who's listening today, but maybe there's somebody who can help you guys out and needs to know some kind of ballpark figure.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that. But actually, for legal reasons, we're not allowed to solicit like public investment.
You're not
like
soliciting
publicly and announce a number. But what I will say is that if anybody is interested, do let me know. We have an 18-month roadmap that includes product features, like marketing tactics, roles that we're going to hire, even like influencers we're going to partner up with, like costing. Like, we went above and beyond in terms of figuring out what we need to do. You know, obviously, completely, knowing that at any point we might have to pivot.
Sure.
But a lot of the things that we're trying to introduce is, you know, this automation capability that I mentioned, where the Google Chrome extension, you know, discovery automation, again, being able to share itineraries on our site, and what I and also introduce this kind of deal finding, right, automated travel agent kind of matching between hotels and willing to offer deals and users, and also like introducing different ways to help companies actually advertise, but also help users find good ideas, right? Based on the types of activities you have saved, you know, we can like suggest different activities, suggest different itineraries, partner up with an influencer that's on our horizon. We already have a few influencers we're collaborating with so that they can host their itineraries that you can download. I think that really I can go for, I think, hours and hours. We have a long, like, I think 4 pages of features that we want to introduce down the line.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, without giving away your special sauce, maybe talking generalities, what kind of features would those be?
So a few things, like, you know, besides the ones that I just mentioned, like the features, when you say features, are you referring to like features for users or features for like companies or all of them?
You just said that you've got a couple of things on your mind that
I can share that. So a few things. So one is the ability for influencers to, you know, bloggers or who hosted their itineraries, to have analytics on like number of downloads, right? And the shares. And then beyond just eyeballs and having, you know, matching them with different companies so that they can partner up. And then you can kind of do that.
Nice.
You can kind of get paid per download. So that benefits influencers who can get paid higher. And, you know, it benefits companies who actually have, you know, visibility over like exactly what they're getting, you know, what the return is on their marketing investment. So that's one kind of revenue area we're looking into. Feature-wise, you know, we want to create like real community on our platform. So, you know, the way we want to create, we're going to get into the events. We're going to partner up with our, you know, tour operators, or it would be great if we can partner up with something like Yacht Week or Kentucky, and host events for Levanter members. We will introduce our reward system where if you're a Levanter member, you're traveling, you know, let's say you're in Greece, we'll like find a yoga studio and then you get free yoga if you're a Levanter member. Something like that, so that we start to really build strong community and network and relationship with our end users, and also just throw a bunch of parties. And as we start to our communities grow, another, you know, something that I was thinking of, this idea of sharing economy. So we'll have groups traveling to different locations. So
nice.
If they are willing, you know, we can host events, like social events for them to mingle, or we could also like match them up so they can like co-rent or co-use like luxury products, such as like yacht rentals, you know, private jet. If you want to book a helicopter, you know, villa rental, like whatever it is, get together and, you know, book a club. I don't know. And eventually, and also like start to kind of onboard more ancillary services. So let's say you want to, you know, go to, I was about to say Long Island, I don't think that's a good example, like Napa for like a bachelor party, and you want to, you know, hire a private car to drive you around so that you guys can kind of have fun. Then you'll be able to kind of find those services on our platform. I think this ancillary services idea, I don't know why, you know, the bigger players haven't really gotten into this space, because it's such a value add. It's
the profit margin. So the profit margin on a tour is maybe 1 or 2%.
Mm.
Whereas with a hotel, that profit margin is often, or a cruise is often 10 or 20%, right? So even though people like you and I are far more interested in the things that surround where we stop, the truth is that most of those people don't have the margin to pay to incentivize a bigger company like Expedia to even look at it.
That's true. That's absolutely, you know, true. Yeah.
But I love it because you're speaking my language. So screw those bigger guys. You just become the big guy.
Yeah.
And you do
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
David, so, right? David versus Goliath.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm an adventure junkie. I mean, that goes through my blood. I don't know if you've ever heard of this app, but it's called Adventure Junkie. And I, you know, as I look through your site, I was thinking about this app, but on your platform. So I guess it's a two-part question. Number one, when do you come out with your app? And then number two, is there going to be a place for drug addicts like me who need to go swim with great white sharks?
Absolutely. I don't know if I'm as adventurous as you sound like. I don't think that I'll be like, you know, swimming with the sharks, let's say, but because I'm a terrible swimmer, but I love like skydiving. I'll do anything. I'll do things like that. I love sandboarding. So if those count as adventurous, absolutely. So I absolutely like the more, like, I think it's more like niche, like activities and services that we can provide. We will go after them because the more niche items that we can have on the platform, the better it is, because that means that our users get access to things that they're not normally used to. They don't normally have access to, right?
Right.
Because normally, I mean, I don't want to get into this SEO business. If you Google like, you know, things to do in Perth, Australia, mm-hmm. let's say. Yeah, because of these, you know, there's the bigger ones, tour companies or whatever, they're better at SEO and marketing. They're the ones that you find on the, you know, first three pages, right?
Right.
So the more niche ones and smaller ones are like, you're unlikely going to find them. I mean, I found this prison tour in Perth, by the way, that was literally the most fun prison, I mean, tour I've ever had. And it was like a nighttime prison tour. And
oh, wow.
I looked at every single website, like meaning went from one to the last page of all the websites, TripAdvisor, everything, to find things to do in Fremantle in Australia, and didn't find it. And I only found out because I was on a boat and the locals that I was drinking with told me about it.
I was going to say, you could have had a prison tour just by drinking and then doing something crazy. What kind of prison was this that that you needed a tour? They do those for free in America.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's also like I think American prisons, for some reason in my mind, would be a lot more intimidating.
I'm just messing with you.
Yeah. I think what's also funny is they do this tour where you can like go, like, you know, you have to wear a helmet and then you like go by boat and then you basically go on like in the tunnel, like underneath, you know, underground, and then actually see how the prisoners used to escape.
Mm. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I wanted to do that, but it was too late. But it's, yeah, things like that. But like, it's just like, you know, the more like these gems that you find, it's really hard. This is why people try to crowdsource on Facebook groups and things like that, right? Because they know that Googling doesn't necessarily get you the most unique activities, because they're normally, you know, operated by small players.
Right. Right. Yeah. Now what's the second part here is, do you have a plan for an app? You know, what's that look like?
Yes. So at the moment, we're web only, as you know. We are working on our mobile like capabilities. So initially, you'll be able to like do things by going on our website on the phone. We absolutely have plans to create our own native app. But from priority standpoint, that will probably happen end of the year. Likely.
Oh, cool.
But you'll be able to use our platform and or some aspects of it on our platform on the phone by going to our website by May.
Cool. That's awesome. So because it's if you haven't read that book, it's actually can be a little bit difficult to spell. Why don't you tell me the spelling of your website? I'll put it in the podcast notes and the best way to contact you.
Sure. It's Levanter, Levantr, Levanter.com. And best way to contact me would be either on our Instagram page, because we have multiple people monitoring the messages. So our Instagram handle is my_lavanter, or you can email me directly at jen@lavanter.com.
Cool. Well, I appreciate so much your time today. I love the idea. I love the concept of what you're doing. And if you're planning on bringing the app out by the end of the year, let's stay in really good touch, because I'd love to bring you back on again. And once you kind of get a couple more things worked out and just kind of constantly get you back in front of the crowd of people that I have. And I'm going to also talk with you here in a little bit about sharing it into the groups that I have, and seeing if I can get you some traction that way. Because again, I love the idea. I love the entrepreneurial spirit that you have. The fact that you were Ubering and doing all kinds of stuff to really get to the place to where you could launch your dream. Man, that's just an amazing story to me. And I want everybody to hear that, because we need people like you to show other people that they can actually live a life of their dreams if they just take that first step and go. So I really appreciate your time and coming on today.
Thank you so much. Really enjoyed it. Thank you, Josh.
No problem. We'll talk to you soon.
Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review to keep the adventure going. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we'll continue to explore the world tactically. Until then, keep your itineraries tight and your travel spirits adventurous. Safe travels, and see you next time on Tactical Traveler.